All right. As I said, we have Brother Simon O'Grady here with us this evening. He's going to give us his talk entitled Origin of the Christadelphians. So I ask for your undivided attention for his class this evening. Brother Simon.
I'll just yell in a big voice. Now I'm going to quickly introduce myself. Oh, that's me. How did you make that work? Man, American magic. It's a wonderful place. All right, how many loud New Zealanders are there in the room? Put your hand up. Come on, put your hand up. All right, so there's only two Kiwis. Any Aussies in the world, in the room? Are you an Aussie? Sorry about that. You can't help it though, can you? Are you a Wigzel? Ah, okay, I can tell. Great, so we got one Aussie, so we can make lots of Aussie jokes. How many Canadians in the room? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, that's pretty neat. Now, you know what it feels like when someone meets you overseas and they say, oh, your accent, are you American? And you go, nah, I'm a Canadian, right? That's a bit like Australia and New Zealand, because we get mixed up with Australians all the time. We come from a country on the other side of the Pacific. If we hopped on an aeroplane and flew back home, anyone have a guess how many hours it would take to get back there in one flight? Not you. Not you either. You're an Aussie. Aussies know everything. So they think they do. Did you have an idea?
13, 14 hours.
Wow, you're pretty intelligent. 13, 14 hours, exactly right. All right, so you must be a American then, yeah? Yeah, okay, see. So they get the answers right. So 13 or 14 hours you've got to sit on an aeroplane and go all the way back over the Pacific Ocean, past Hawaii, past the dolphins, and then past the whales, and then you get to New Zealand. Next stop past New Zealand, you know what that is?
Antarctica.
Shh. Can you just be quiet, all right? It's the penguin country down in the South Pole. So it's a long way away. So yeah, we're enjoying coming up here in summer because on the other side of the hemisphere, it's actually middle of winter back home. So it's nice to have another summer. All right, tonight we're going to have a look at the subject of the origin of Christadelphians. Now, everyone should have this nice map. I did nice pink ones for the boys and nice blue ones for the girls. So, but I think they got mixed up. So you don't have any? All right, well, you're lucky because we've got a couple of spare ones. No, that's all there is. Now, two things you need to notice about this. This is your worksheet tonight. Thank you. On one side, you'll notice there's a map and two pictures of these old-looking guys. Yeah? Wow. All right. Anyone else have that problem where they've got no map on one side, only writing? What must have happened is my printer must have whipped up two pages at once instead of... There you go. Oh, you've already written on it. Well, you can keep that too. No one else got that problem? No? Excellent. All right, so you've got a map with these two pictures of these oldest-looking chappies on. Very old, actually. Oh. We'll try that one. I'm going to throw that printer in the bin. Anyone else got a problem? No? Everyone else happy? Good. Well, I know you've got problems, but have you got problems with your piece of paper?
No.
No, good. All right, so listen carefully. We've got this map, and we're going to use it to put a couple of things on it. And on the back are some questions, all right? So those questions, if you'd answer, fill out as we go along. Like you'll notice at the top here, who is this man and who is this man pictures, all right? So use that as we go through for note-taking, answer questions. I'll stop, I think, when we get to the answer to these and say, hey, that's an answer to the questions. Why don't you write it in, all right? But let's start with this map because we've got to put a few things onto this map first. And the first one is we need to actually locate a country called North America and particularly a place called Shippensburg. So everyone put a little dot on that map where you think Shippensburg is located. Does anyone have a spare pen or pencil that they can lend these two gentlemen here? All All right, everyone done that? Right, I'm going to have to use a high-tech point. I'm going to use my finger. All right. How many people put it here? Anyone? You reckon it'll go a bit higher? Who put it about there? Yeah? Oh, well done. Excellent. So put a little dot somewhere about there because that's where we are today, Shippensburg in the United States of America. Now, that's going to be... What? What dot? Yeah, that's good enough for me. Close enough. All right, so a dot somewhere about there. Oh, that's much nicer. Everyone can see things. All right, so now we know where we are in this world map. We know that Shippensburg, where we are, is sitting here, over here. Next problem. We've actually got to find New Zealand. See if you can find New Zealand. Just write New Zealand on it. Put a little dot. Actually, that dot by Shippensburg, you should probably write Bible School or Shippensburg on it. So we know where we are. Then you've got to find New Zealand. How many people think this is New Zealand here? No, that's Madagascar. What about this country here? No, that's where he lives. It's this little thing here. Two little islands. New Zealand, that's going to be important. We need Australia. So put Australia on there and label it. Sorry?
Can you just put AU?
AU? You can put AU if you like, as long as you remember that's Australia.
I'm
Oh, okay. So you're half Australian and half American.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an interesting combination. All right, so far we've got Shippensburg, New Zealand, Australia. Now the next one we need is England. Where do you think England is here? Where do you reckon it is?
It's right there.
Oh, it's right there. What, you mean this one here?
Yeah.
Yeah, well done. So label that. That's England with Ireland next to it. So we just got a few little points now that we know where things are. Okay, another two things. We need to label the Atlantic Ocean between Shippensburg and England. And we need to label the Pacific Ocean, this great big ocean here, where Hawaii's in the middle of it, between America and New Zealand on the other side. Good, everyone got all those there? Because we're going to need all those different locations in a moment as we have a look at the origins of the Christadelphians. Someone have their hand up or something? Yeah? You just waving to me or do you want to say something? No? Good. I like it when people wave to me from the back. I wave back, it's all right. So we know these key places now. Now what we want to do, I want to tell you about the history of Christadelphians. And we're going to go way back in time now to this little map here on the screen when I get to it. There. All right, this is the Roman Empire. So we're going to go right back now to the days when Jesus has just left in Acts chapter 1. The apostles have gone out and taught. So all those things you learn at Sunday school about the Acts of the Apostles going out to Rome. And the gospel truth began to spread across the Roman Empire. And before you knew it, 500 years after, the whole of this area here in Europe, top of Africa and down towards Jerusalem, was essentially Christian, right? So Christianity spread across the entire empire. Now, it wasn't easy because several of the emperors of Rome didn't like the idea of Christianity, the gospel message spreading through the Roman Empire, so they started trying to persecute it at different times. Anyone know who some of the really bad emperors were of Rome? Yeah?
Julius Caesar.
Who's that?
Julius Caesar.
He wasn't the really bad one, no.
Nero,
that's the one. Nero was a really nasty, nasty piece of work, yeah?
Didn't Nero, like, cause the fire of Rome and...
Well, maybe or maybe not. Nobody quite knows. But we'll go and have a look at that story, shall we? So Nero, he's the emperor back here in Rome. He sees that Christianity is beginning to spread through his empire. So he sends a big rule or message out to his whole empire saying, right, you've got to persecute these people, kill them wherever they're found, take all their houses, get rid of them because we want them out of the empire. Now, did that work? Does it work when you persecute people like that?
No.
What do people do when you persecute them?
Back.
What do you reckon? Sorry? Retaliate. Is that what you do? You go, right, we'll get them back. No, not when it's Nero, right? What are you going to do, Nero? How are you going to retaliate? He's the emperor. He's got all the legions. So what did they do? What do you do? No, I'm not asking you. You know all the questions, all the answers. You peeked at my notes. What do you do? So you're a believer of the truth in early Rome. Nero sent out a message to persecute them. What are you going to do? Yeah?
Don't they turn the Christianity into like a secrecy where like they did like a secret assembly to tell that they're a Christian?
Don't know. You'll have to tell me more about the story later. I haven't heard of that. Yes, Hannah? They ran away. Is that what you're going to say? Yeah, well done. All right. So when people try and persecute you, they run away. Yeah, we'll check that out later. You're probably right. So they run away. But they ran away whereabouts? Throughout the whole Roman Empire, and that actually made the problem even worse. Now, Nero is pretty horrible, right? Because he would catch people who are brothers and sisters in Christ, the people we'll see in the kingdom, and he'd put them into the circus in Rome and let go wild beasts, and they'd rip them up alive. Awful stories of them covering them in flammable materials and sending them as torches down his gardens. Horrible stories. He's actually nuts, Nero. He killed his brothers and his sister, and eventually they killed him and got rid of him. Yeah? Eddie, what? Sorry. Because I'm a New Zealander, your accents are really lovely accents, but I find it hard to understand. So can I ask you to say that again? Oh, yeah, that's another awful thing he did. Right. Sew them up in cowskin. He was a horrible guy, and he dreamt of the horriblest, most cruelest ways of killing people. And they're people who are followers, true followers of Jesus. As I said, we'll meet them in the kingdom. So, that was all going on, but it began to spread really, really rapidly for about 500 years, and then the end of the Roman Empire came. All right, these barbarians came down from Asia and from Russia, invaded Rome and Italy, and turned it into a period of time that became known. Anyone know what happened after the end of the Roman Empire? Not you, you keep answering everything. All right, you've only allowed to answer two more questions tonight. So, what do you reckon?
The Byzantine Empire.
Oh, yeah, that happened over here. This Constantinople today is ancient Byzantium. But what happened to this whole area through Europe? Not you either. Anyone else? Any ideas? What happened? Yeah. The Dark Ages. Well done. All right. It came known as the Dark Ages. Now, why was it called the Dark Ages? Is that because the sun switched off? Or the electric lights failed? Why was it called the Dark Ages? Any ideas? Yeah, what do you reckon? Yeah, well, not much is known about it, and also not many people knew anything about it, because I'll tell you what happened. As Christianity spread throughout this empire, here in Rome, here in what became known as Constantinople, and down here in Alexandria, groups of people got together and they corrupted the truth, right? And they established a very powerful church up in Rome that eventually became, anyone know? The Roman Catholic Church. And it ended up becoming the dominating force throughout the whole of this area for about 1,300 years, and became known as the Dark Ages. And this is what they did, right? If we were sitting here reading our Bibles back in those Dark Ages, and some of the churches or of the men of Rome, the soldiers came to the door and they saw us with Bibles, you know what they'd do to us all? Kill us. Because it was illegal to have your own Bible. Only people allowed a Bible were the priests of the church. No one else was allowed a Bible. Yeah? No, they just killed them. Well, actually, worse than that, you know. They'd take lots of them away. Later on in this period, there's a thing called the Inquisition. Horrible thing that happened down here in Spain. What they'd do, they'd take you away, and they'd stretch you out on this great big rack. They called the rack, all right? And then they'd tickle your toes. No, they wouldn't. Dania, shh. All right? They'd stretch you till they dislocated your shoulders and arms, terrible pain, and then they'd get these burning hot pokers and jab them in you and try and make you confess that what you believe was wrong and what Rome told you to believe was right. Right? So they'd torture them, in other words. Horrible things. Now, what would they do to me? I mean, it's all right for you. You've got Bibles. You'd probably just get stretched on the rack and tortured until you said, all right, yeah, I'll give my Bible away. What would they do to me? Because I'm teaching you. What they do? Yeah, they force my mouth open and get molten lead and pour it into my mouth. All right? And molten lead's about, what, 700 degrees? So it would burn and sear, completely obliterate my mouth because I've been teaching. These are the horrible things that happen in the Dark Ages. And so people stop reading their Bibles. Now, guess what happens if you stop reading your Bible? You forget about God. You lose the truth. And the power of Rome forced everyone into the Dark Ages. Now, some people did secretly have Bibles and secretly read them. And they had to hide. They had to hide under bridges. They had to flee up into Northern Europe, right up into here, where the Pope's people, the Catholic Church people couldn't get them, or down into Northern Africa. Some even fled over to the ancient area of Babylonia to try and get away from this persecution, but became known as the Dark Ages, so no Bibles. The other thing, even if you could get a Bible, it would be no good. You know why? You want to know why? Yeah. Nah, we'll ask this girl at the back. Yeah, brilliant. Do you know what language it was? Is anyone 13 or 14, 15 here? Anyone 15? No, they're in my other class. The 13, 14-year-olds. Has anyone done Latin at school? Oh, man, I feel sorry for you. All right. You're doing Latin as well? All right. I only know one phrase. I did 3 years of Latin, and this is all I remember, all right? It goes, Vila es grande. What does that mean? Do you know? Oh, the house is large. Oh, sorry. Yeah? Is that what you got? That's all I remember from Latin, because it was just... And then they make you learn all these conjugations. Do you have to go bam, bas, bat, batis, baratis, bunt? Do you have to do all that? Oh, yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? All right, but it was in a language that was ancient Rome. No one understood it, so even if you had a Bible, that's the only language it was in. So it became called the Dark Ages, and for about 1,200 years, people forgot about reading the Bible. They didn't know what the truth was. The church told them what to believe, and they believed all sorts of funny things. That's the Dark Ages. Now, we're going to roll forward to about the year 1700, and something really unusual happened. All right, something turned up, amongst other things, from way over here. All right, over here. Anyone see what this is? China. All right, China's over here. Something turned up from China and moved down the Silk Road and ended up coming into Europe. Anyone know what it was? It was actually two big things, but what do you reckon? Yeah. Sorry? The bubonic plague. I hadn't thought of that one, but you're probably right. Where did that come from? It came from rats and the funny thing that lived on it. You're probably right. I wasn't quite thinking of that, but I'll add that to my list of things that came from China. What do you reckon? Really fun. Yes, Dania. No, it wasn't a person. It's a thing. There's two things, all right? Changed the Western world enormously. Ooh. I better check that out. That's because it can't connect to the internet and check my files are updated, so... Hello, welcome. I'll get you one of these. We're just talking about two things that turned up from China and ended up in Europe. Right, here's the first one, right? Not really related tonight, but it's neat. Gunpowder, right? So you want to have fireworks without the Chinese, and that turned it up somewhere about that time, really important for warfare. The other thing is the printing press, right? The ability to print books. Up until that, no one in Europe knew how to print books, so you couldn't get Bibles because they were all back in church in Rome anyway, and they're on Latin. Once you get a printing press come over, just a little mobile one, guess what? People can start printing Bibles, and they started translating the languages people could read, and they could hide these away in the bottom of their houses. The Bibles started getting printed, and they began to spread out amongst the population. There were lots of book burnings. So the soldiers would go through all their houses and see whether you had any books or Bibles or stuff, and they'd burn them all and then persecute, but it was too late. People started reading again, and the Dark Ages started to come to an end. In fact, people started discovering all sorts of stuff, like this. How long have we got? We've only got an hour, haven't we? So better not go off on too many tangents, but... Oh, good, heaps of time. So the end of the Dark Ages started to dawn, and people started reading their Bibles again. And you know what they suddenly started to discover? The church in Rome was saying, well, you know, when you die, there's this place under the ground, and it's really hot and full of lava and stuff, and there's a thing down there, a monster thing called a devil with these big funny horns and a pitchfork, and you're going to stay down there forever and ever if you're bad. And they called that what? Hell. And people started reading their Bibles and going, I can't find that in my Bible. Can you find it in yours? Is it in your Bible? You got hell in your Bible? No. Well, the church back in Rome must be wrong. And then someone else said, but the church in Rome said, well, if you're good, you don't go to hell. You know where you go? It's really, it sounds really fun, you know. You get this harp, right? Bing, and you sit up on the cloud forever and play the harp. Sounds fun, eh? And so that was heaven. You'd go to some place called heaven up there in the skies, and you'd be there forever if you're good. And people started going, hang on, in my Bible it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. It sounds as if there's going to be a kingdom on earth. How come the church isn't telling us that? And so people started finding the church wasn't telling the truth at all. And lots more different things like that. So the end of the Dark Ages meant people were starting to read their Bibles. Now, this is where we want to start with a little, find this, questions on it. We're going to start our little story. Get your map out, whoops. Get your map out, and we're going to start in England, all right? So you put a little dot up here in England, and this little story is going to start there. About this time, in this whole period where people are reading their Bibles, beginning to understand what it all meant for themselves, there was a person born all the way up here in England, who's this one here, although this isn't him when he was born. This is when he was just about to pass away or die. And he was called John Thomas. We know him as Brother Thomas, right? So he was born up here somewhere in the early 1800s, called Brother Thomas. Now that's nice, because if you turn your page over, you'll see there's a picture of him, and it says, who is this man? So you can put Brother Thomas next to it now. Now, he was born in England to some pastor parents, and that was all fine. He grew up, and somewhere in about his early 20s, his dad decided that there was this brand new country beginning to develop where you could earn lots of money, and it was a much better place to live. And why doesn't he move the whole family over there? You know what it was called? Yeah, what do you reckon?
America.
Yeah, it's called America, right? So everybody wanted to come to America back in those days. So his dad wanted to go from here all the way over to America because there was all this land in the middle and they didn't think it really belonged to anyone, but it turned out it did. But anyway, they got kicked out and there was plenty of land to be taken and you could have a farmer and there were gold rushes, all sorts of much better place to live. Too crowded back in London. So his dad said, we're going to go and live in America. And John, somewhere in his early 20s, says, well, why don't I go over there first, check it out, and come back and let you know. So anyway, he hops on a boat, and he begins to sail across the Atlantic Ocean towards New York. Problem is, just out from England, a couple of storms hit, and for about 8 weeks, the boat was sitting in the storm, getting tossed backwards and forwards. Does anyone get seasick? No? Anyone been in a boat in a storm before? Where the waves literally wash over the top. What, were you going to Tasmania or something? It was just like a little fishing boat. I'm talking about a big boat where the waves break right over it. Now, I've been in one of those. Between these two islands down here, between them, there's a gap. It's one of the roughest water stretches in the world because the main winds come right down here and rip through there, and you get up to 20 metre waves. They're huge. So sometimes they've got to cancel the boat sailings, yeah?
When we were in Australia, by Brisbane, they had waves that were probably as high as 20 meters. Because you could see, and they're like clear above all the trees.
Yeah, I know, massive, eh? Because you get hurricanes come down through here. We lived there for 8 years in Brisbane, and you get hurricanes come down on the coast. So big waves. But anyway, he was in this boat, and these massive storms, which began to rock all the way across here. That's pretty awful, because do you know what one of his jobs was? By the way, this is one of the questions. He's a doctor. Sorry, Daniel. All New Zealanders are like this, by the way. They're sort of, pick me, please. I will eventually, Danny. So he was a doctor, so you can put that on your notes as well. And there were about 200 people in this boat, and he's the doctor for all of them. How much fun do you think it is being doctor for about 200 people in a boat that's spending 8 weeks in a storm going up and down? You know what happens, eh? Yeah, they were all thrown up. So all the way over. Now, unfortunately, the boat got driven off course down towards an island here that's called Sable Island, towards the coast, around about here. And the boat ran aground and began to break up, right? So when you hit the ground, it lifts up and it smashes the whole boat down again, and it lifts it up and smashes it back down again. And everybody in the boat thought they were going to drown, they were going to die. They had to throw everything overboard that was on the decks to try and lighten it up. And at about that point, this John Thomas then, early in his life, said, hang on, if I'm going to die, I don't know whether there's a God or not. I haven't really thought about it. I haven't thought about the Bible. And so he offered a little prayer. He says, God, if you save me from this, then I'm going to make sure that I work out what's really true and what's not, and save me out of this. And what happened after a couple of more great heaves, the boat actually managed to get off the sand and eventually managed to get down to New York. So when he turned up there, he went out looking to read his Bible, speak to other people, and find out what the truth is. All right. So that's the start of our history as Christadelphians. This man here began to search out and to read the Bible. Now, he spent a lot of time in this sort of area around here. All right. Now, here's some of the places he visited. Richmond. Does anyone know where Richmond is? Yeah? Oh, everybody. It's sort of pretty close, isn't it? Virginia or somewhere? What about Philadelphia? Yeah? Pennsylvania? Oh, man, everyone knows where. Do you know where that is, Danny? Anyway, it's not American. Do Canadians know? What about Toronto? Ontario? Anyone here from Chicago or Illinois? Detroit area? Okay, those are all different places that Brother Thomas visited at one time or other. So through this period of time, he was reading his Bible, he was seeing what it meant, and he realized that the churches, yeah? Sable Island, sorry, I should, S-A-B-L-E, that's one of the answers to one of your questions, if you hadn't noticed. Boat ran aground in Sable Island. So over a period of about 10, 15 years, he began to read his Bible, examine it, and he came to understanding what the Bible said, and he wrote a book about the gospel message. Anyone know what that's called? One of the two key books, yeah? Sorry? No, not that one. No, we'll ask you here. Elpis Israel. Elpis means hope. Israel, of course, is Israel. It's the hope of Israel. And that's an excellent little book that we've got in the Brotherhood that he wrote there, a consolidation of what he believed he saw was in the Scriptures. Now, in that book, of course, is Brother Thomas a prophet? No, he's not. All right, so God didn't inspire him like he inspired the Scriptures. Is a person who loved to read the Word of God and come to an understanding of it. And he's written out for us in Help Us Israel an excellent exposition of it. But we've all got to come to understand it for ourselves as well. So he wrote that. What's the other great book that he wrote? On the book of Revelation called, yeah? Eureka. Anyone know what Eureka means? What does it mean? I found it. Anyone know the story of Eureka? Yeah? Everyone know that? Who was the Greek guy? I always forget what his name was. Was it Aristotle, Archimedes, or... Archimedes, good. All right, Archimedes was back here in Greece many thousands of years ago. And the king said to him, Archimedes, you're a clever mathematician. I have this crown of gold, and I want to know... I want to know how much gold's in it and whether it's pure gold. And if you can tell me, then I'm going to give you a whole lot of money in gold. But if you can't, I'm going to chop your head off. All right? So what would you do? Well, he went home and he scratched his head and he thought about, how am I going to weigh this? Shh. Just calm down. Right? He says, I'm going to work this out. And he sat there and he thought, how do I do it? Well, one night he ran his bath, right? Hopped in the bath. And when you filled up the bath too much, anyone had a bath, they fill it way too much. And you hop in and guess what happens? Where you are makes a hole and all the water flows out of the top, right, all over the floor. And this happened to Archimedes, and all of a sudden, he leapt out of the bath. He forgot to put his clothes on, by the way, which is quite embarrassing. And he ran off down the middle of the street yelling, Eureka, Eureka, I found it, I found it. And everyone went, Archimedes, you haven't got your clothes on. And what he'd found is this. He'd found this clever thing that if you get a big jug or jar or something, fill it right up with water and then take the crown and put it in it, it will displace water. And the amount of water displaced will be exactly the same volume as the crown that went in it. Then you can get that water, measure it in a nice square or oblong sense, and then measure exactly how much gold and therefore how much weight and whether it's pure or not. And then you weigh the crown. I know it got complicated there. But that's where the word Eureka came from. It means I found it. Not that Brother Thomas named it after Archimedes, just the same word. I found it. Because he'd found what? The truth about the book of Revelation. So two excellent books. It's another answer to one of your questions. Anyway, so you should have a dotted line now across here to America. He spent a whole lot of time here. Then he went back to England. Then he came back again, but oh dear. Americans, they started arguing. And the Southern Americans here began to argue with the Northern Americans about a bunch of things, but one of which was slavery. So the North wanted to abolish, the South, cotton states wanted to keep it, a bunch of other things as well. So you had the Confederate armies and you had the United States, and they began to fight in what became known as, all those Americans here, your own history. What was it? Oh no, that was before that. What do you reckon? Yeah, well done. Civil War. Now, very famous place, only about 20 mile away from here. No, I'm not answering you. What is it? Gettysburg. All right, that's where one of the most pivotal fights of the Civil War occurred. Well, Brother Thomas had come back in the middle of that, and he was moving between the believers at this point that he had found, and many people were coming to believe the scriptures. The early Christadelphians were in the southern states, some in the northern, and they had a problem. Not the problem is, you're all probably a bit young, but if you're about 16, 17 or 18, you know what they do down in the Confederate States and in the North? It's called conscription, right? That means they make you go in the army, they give you a gun and they say go down and fight. And of course, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're conscientious objectors. That means we're not going to go out and fight. So he had a bit of a problem. And so he went to the governments, both up here in Washington, well, I guess Richmond probably was at that time, in the southern states, and said, well, you know, we don't want to fight. And they said, well, you've got to be a religion. You've got to have a name. And at that point, all the believers didn't have a name. So what was the name that they established? Yeah? Yeah, you're in the pink. Christadelphians. Well done. That's exactly what you're going to say, wasn't it? All right, Christadelphian. So that's where the name came from. Now, what does Christadelphian mean? Well, we'll find someone who hasn't answered yet. What do you reckon?
Brethren of Christ.
Yeah, brethren of Christ. And brethren is an unusual word. It means brothers and sisters together. So brothers and sisters in Christ. That was the name they came with. Very scriptural one. It summarizes us beautifully. And that's where the name came from. All right, so it actually came from America. How about that? And not very far away from here either was how the believers came to be known. Now, have we answered all these questions? Let me check. I don't have it on the back of that. All right, we know who that man is. We know the island. We know what Christadelphia means. Everyone got three places Brother Thomas visited? Two important books? Oh, two jobs. Yeah, okay. We need to talk about that. At a certain point, Brother Thomas left this area and went a little bit west to a place called Chicago. Anyone been to Chicago here? Yeah? Just a few of you. Chicago. I've been to Chicago a couple of times. You know what happened the first time? I went in the middle of winter and I was in the hotel there. And it was a beautiful sunny day when I woke up in the morning. And I thought, oh, that looks pretty nice. So I put my shorts on, T-shirt, went down a lobby, walked out. And you know what temperature it was? Oh, I don't know what it was in Fahrenheit here. Who can convert Celsius in Fahrenheit? Anyway, it was way below freezing point. I went out and just about turned an ice block. It was so cold, but it was a beautiful sunny day. It's so cold there. So Chicago, yeah?
I don't know the question to who is this man, and how old the Tolstoy, how old was he?
Yeah. Do you know why you don't know the answer to those?
What was the name?
Because I haven't told you yet. So just wait on. We'll be here in about 5 minutes. All right, so Chicago's where he went to, just over here. And there he decided to establish a... What just happened there? Yeah, I know. It went a bit quick, though. Right, let's get back to this. Put it on again. Now, he established a couple of things. One, he established a printing press, right, because he was printing books. He knew how to do printing, and so he set up a printing press. But anyone know what happened to it one night? Yeah, it burned down. How did you know that? You're just guessing, weren't you? But you're right. It all burned down. So he lost a lot of money. He borrowed all the money he put into that, and it burnt down entirely. Well, some kind person lent him some more money, and he decided, well, I'm not going to go into printing anymore. And he bought a little farm just outside Chicago. And pretty hard work. He set it all up as a farm. Then he let it out to some people, a manager, and he actually moved back to New York. And after a while, he thought, well, I'm not going to be a farmer anymore. And he sent a message back to an agent to sell it for him. And the agent sold the farm, and he was supposed to pay the loan back. Do you know what the agent did with the money? Nicked it. Took off. So Brother Thomas got left with a debt and no farm and no money and nothing at all. So two big disasters happened. His printing press burnt down, and his farm person, when they sold it, nicked off with all the money, took everything he had. So, you know, some big difficulties that Brother Thomas faced in those years. That's an answer, by the way, to a couple of your questions. All right, what we've found so far is that the Christadelphians began to be established in the area of England and this little area in the United States. Well, Brother Thomas decided to go for a journey back to England, and he gave some lectures. And in one of the lectures was this young guy, probably only about 8 or 9 years old, and this is him in later years. His name's Robert Roberts. Right, so he's got the same last name as he's got the first name. And he fell asleep in the lecture. And all he remembers was that Brother Thomas had a big, as you can see, fluffy yellow bed, a fluffy white bed. White. But Brother Roberts, later on as he grew up, became interested in the truth, began to read his Bible as well, read Help is Israel, and became very, very influential. Now, that means you should have written next to one of the other pictures, who's this other man? And you should have Robert Roberts. Yeah? Good. So let's very quickly, in the last 10 or so minutes, have a look at what happened with that. Because America's all sorted out, that's fine. Canada's all sorted out, because Brother Thomas has been across there. And brothers and sisters all gathered together. They've created first meetings and ecclesias. They're now known as Christadelphians. But what about all these poor people down here? All right. It's a bit unfair, isn't it? New Zealand Australians. They haven't heard about this yet. So what happened is this Brother Roberts, he decided to go on a journey, and he went from, there's already a few Christadelphians though, but he had to, how do you get from here to here, not you, Daniel. How do you do that? Now, who has an answer question? I'll see. You all have. You have. You have. What about you? How do you get there? Sorry? So you mean you could travel across here, to the US, then go across the United States?
No. Travel across.
This way?
Yeah.
Whoa. And then sort of get through here by boat to Australia and then, what, swim over this last bit here of 3,000 miles. What do you reckon?
Okay, so from England, he travels over Canada, but like above Canada,
What, over the top there?
No, like, you know, way up there.
That's like the North Pole. That's all ice. You can't get there. All right, any other ideas? We'll try another one of someone who hasn't. What do you reckon? What do you do? Where would you do? Ah, the Panama Canal. All right, so there's a little canal through here called the Panama Canal. All right, let's say there's actually a canal here called the Suez Canal. All right, so he actually put a boat through here, through the Mediterranean, down through the Suez Canal, and then across this ocean here. Now, by the way, whoever said go across here, you could, but there's bandits, all right, back in those days. Pretty dangerous to do. And even coming across here was pretty hard because you then had to get across the Wild West, then here, and then get across the Pacific Ocean. And then what do you do here anyway? Because you fall off the edge of the world here, right?
No.
And you're gone. So.
No.
No? No, yeah, you're right. You wrap around here and come down. So that's what he did. Yeah?
And if you want to, if you try to go around Asia and America, basically just connect so you're kind of
worthless. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you'd spend 10 years doing it, and one day you'd arrive back where you started. Good point. All right, so anyway, Brother Roberts ends up travelling all the way down to Australia and New Zealand. You know what he finds down there? Shh. You know what he finds down there? Found my great-grandparents, because they'd already migrated from the UK after having learned the truth all the way down here to live in New Zealand for some bizarre reason, a long way away. But they're already there. People already knew about the truth. Already Christadelphians there. And so they were really excited to see Brother Roberts there. And he did speaking tours through Australia and New Zealand. And more people came to the truth and learned about it, read the Bible for themselves, and came to know it. And so the truth began to spread, and Christadelphians began to spread. Now, really interesting. I've got these here. I won't tell you the story because we've run out of time, but you can write these in here. He was about 12 years old when he got his first job. Anyone know what it was? Who reckon his first job was? Imagine that, leaving school at 12 years old and going and getting a job. Pretty neat, eh? Imagine that. You don't have to go to high school and earn money. He was a rope maker. He made ropes for boats, the old sailing boats. He became a rope maker. So that's what he did for his first job. Now, he also, this Brother Roberts, every one of you use something that he created. Do you know that?
Yeah.
What do you reckon it is? Yeah.
The Bible reading.
Yeah, the Bible reading plan. All right. Now, he wrote that when he was really young, actually, about your age. So the Bible reading plan we use to read through the New Testament twice, Old Testament once every year, he wrote when you were about your age, and we still use it. Do you want to say something? No. All right, so the ecclesial plan, the other one is what we call the reading plan, the ecclesial guide. So the way we organise our meetings together and the ecclesias and the meetings around the world, he also wrote that. All right, so we owe him for those two particular things. Now, this began to spread, of course, across the globe, the truth. Any idea how many countries there are now with Christadelphians in it? What do you reckon, Aussie? 10, 5... 15, all right, got a 15 here. Anyone else? Well, how many do you reckon? 30. Sorry, I should say that your way. 30. Did I get that right? 30. You get the R. Yeah, how many do you reckon? 90. You sure about that? 90? How many do you reckon?
20.
20. You reckon you got an idea? Yeah? 50. All right. You've already had a go. All right. You reckon 40. All right, this is how many. At last count, there's probably a few more now. Oops. 110. So you're right, you're the closest, 90. All right, so there's brothers and sisters now in about 110 different countries globally. You'll turn up, there'll be little Christadelphian ecclesias and gatherings of brothers and sisters. How many, which country do you reckon has the most Christadelphians in it? Yes, Dania.
Is it like it's a part in Africa?
No, not quite.
Wait, no, not in Africa, but I know what it is.
Yeah, no, it's not in Africa at all. Who else? What do you reckon? Did you have? Sorry?
Is that in Africa?
No, it's not. It's actually England. You know that? It's 10,000 Christadelphians there. Funnily enough. Although they're sprinkled around, you wouldn't believe it. But let's ask the second most populous country. Now we're in Africa. Anyone got any guess? No, not you, Daniel. All right, you haven't answered anything. What do you reckon?
America.
No, not America. I said in Africa. America's not in Africa. What do you reckon? No, it's not. Any other guesses? There's 8,000 brothers and sisters in this little country, yeah? Yeah, spot on. So there's, here it is, Malawi. Little mid-African country, unbelievable. About 8,000 brothers and sisters in the meeting there. So there's now more non-English speaking brothers and sisters in the Ecclesias Christadelphia than there are English speaking. Amazing. What do you reckon these two would have to say about that? Brother Thomas, Brother Roberts, if you said, oh, there's now brothers and sisters in that many countries. They'd be totally blown away, wouldn't they? What happened from the work that they actually began and started. Now, have we answered all the questions here? Which ones haven't we answered?
What year did Brother Thomas die? Oh, okay. How old was he? What does Christadelphia mean?
Yeah, we've done Christadelphia. So how what year did Brother Thomas die? All right, I should know that off the top of my head, but I don't. Here you go. You can write it down. He died in 1871, and he was only 65 years old. 65. 1871. So not last century, 1971. The one before, 1871. Okay, listen. Everyone just, I'll do it once more. Listen carefully. 65, 1871. 1871. Yeah? The island? Sorry? The island, is that where you asked? Sable Island, S-A-B-L-E. Still there today if you go and have a look at it. Off Nova Scotia or something there. Good. All right, so, yeah.
What was the name of the island on the boat?
Yeah, we just said that. Sable Island, S-A-B-L-E. It's all right. She's a girl. Oh, that was harsh, wasn't it? I take that entirely back. I've got three daughters, all right, and they never listen to anything I say. So I'm generalising, and I know most girls are not like that. So, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Check with the people next to you, see where they got the answers. All right, so let's put that away for a second, and let's just quickly finish. Right, just have some quiet. Shh. So, let's give you a little test. All right, we were looking at the subject of the origins of Christadelphians. All right, and what was the name of the period just before people started reading their Bibles? Yeah, the Dark Ages. Well done. All right, what does the name Christadelphian mean? Let's try someone over here up the back. Yep. Well done. And brethren includes what? Brothers and sisters. So it's brothers and sisters in Christ. That's really good. What's the most populous country with Christadelphians, or country with the most Christadelphians in it? It's a trick question. What do you reckon it was?
Belgium?
Oh, England, yeah. You know, if you said that to an Englishman, oh, they would be so upset. I know, it's all right. I get it. All right. So hopefully that's... Yeah? Sorry? Do you want to say something? No? Okay. Good. So hopefully that's been informative. You see where it is that Christadelphians... Yeah? Sorry? What have I got? Oh, Britain. Yeah, sorry. So I really should have Scotland, England, Wales, Ireland, shouldn't I? Sorry, I've made a big mistake there. I'm a Kiwi, so forgive me. All right, so hopefully what you've seen there is a couple of things. One is we're very fortunate, aren't we, that we have the precious word of truth. Imagine if we'd lived in the Dark Ages. You know, we would never have come to it. So we're very fortunate that we're living in the age where we're all able to read our Bibles, all able to see it in English. Shh. All able to see it in English and have this wonderful heritage that we've had established for us. Brothers and sisters now coming from all over the world. Is anyone here have a parent, mother, a father, or grandparents who've done mission work? Gone to the mission? Anyone here who's actually gone with them? Anyone? So you've actually gone on mission work? Have you?
Yeah.
Whereabouts is that?
Panama.
Panama? Hang on, I'm going to get a map up. I'm going to see where Panama is. Now, am I right to say Panama's about there? Is that right?
Yeah.
On this funny squiggly little joint? How many brothers, how many ecclesias there? Their brothers and sisters there?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was your impression of the people that you saw there in terms of their enthusiasm? Enthusiastic or just, oh, yeah, Bible, whatever? Yeah, pretty enthusiastic. More so than down in New Zealand. Take your Bible down Wellington in New Zealand and say, does anyone want to learn about the truth? You know what they'd say? Oh, nothing. Right? But you do that down in Panama or places like that, they go, oh, yeah, I want to know about it. So, you know, there's a full of enthusiastic people. Anyone else been to any? You have? What country have you been? Sorry? Barbados. Now, that's West Indies, right? Is it near West Indies, Barbados? Is that sort of around in here? I don't know. I don't come from this part of the world. I think it is. Do you know what cricket is?
Yes.
Good. See,
yes.
That's a test. I know you're an Aussie, but Americans don't know what cricket is. So
I don't
yeah,
know
it, is. It must be West Indies if you know what.
Yeah.
You know what?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cricket good. Oh, that's good. Yeah, it is. Shh. So a little bit of quiet. Anyone else who's had the privilege of going? You have? Where have you been? No. Anyone else? Hannah, have you been?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Panama.
Panama as well. Where does everyone go to Panama? Is it the place to go for Bible mission work? Pretty neat. All right, so one day I'd like... Oh, your sisters, eh? Oh, okay. Well, that'll probably explain it, eh? Dummy me. So exciting times, isn't it? Just before the Lord Jesus Christ returns, people are learning the truth from all over the place. All right, I've run out of time, so let's hand back. You can wake up at the back now and all yours. Thank you.